Do you remember Christmas morning when you were a kid? Maybe you remember last Christmas. It was like that. You know, somebody always, grandma or somebody, would always give you a pair of socks or something like that that wasn't any fun at all, you know? And you always got those gifts that you really did need, that you had no idea as a kid how much you needed them, but you really didn't want them, you really didn't care about them. And then, of course, there was always something that you really wanted that you didn't get, right? You just had no concept of how much that would cost and just really, really wanted those things. I won't ask how many of you ever wanted a pony. But it's one thing to get a pony, then it's another thing to keep a pony in the front yard, you know, and feed a pony. And, you know, we don't have any ideas, kids, about things like that. And we just think that if we ask for it, you know, we ought to get it. I'm kind of comparing that to prayer. Prayer is not like Christmas morning, right? In some ways it is, though. It is in the sense that, no, we don't get everything we ask for. There is a Father who knows better than we about what we need. And God is not a cosmic bellhop in the sky to just give us whatever we want all the time. Prayer really should be more about some things and less about some things. Let's kind of go through a little list there. Prayer should be more about learning what God wants and less about telling Him what I want. So you never maybe thought about prayer being a learning experience. Prayer should be more about discovering how things ought to be, right? We think we know how things ought to be, and so we expect God to make things my way. Yesterday, I prayed that it might not rain until we got our planning done. And for the most part, it didn't. But someone else, somewhere else, might have been praying desperately that we would get some rain. And we could use rain, right? So the truth is, we don't always know how things ought to be, but God does. Prayer ought to be more about talking to my loving Heavenly Father and less about presenting a want list. By the way, it's okay to tell God what you want, and it's okay to expect God to make things different. Expect Him to answer your prayer. I'm not saying it shouldn't be about these things over here. It's just, we get things a little backwards. Prayer should be more about praising and thanking God and less about complaining to God. It's okay to complain to God. You can do that. I would much rather you complain to God about things and about people than to complain to people about people or about God. But really, our focus needs to be a little bit more on praising and thanking God, a little less on complaining to God. Is God impressed with our prayers? I mean, is it the sort of thing where when we get it right, we say the right formula, we have the right inflection in our voice, maybe we use a stained glass voice or something, these and thous, that God is so impressed and He's so overwhelmed that He then feels obligated to answer our prayers? You're laughing because it's ridiculous, but really, I mean, do we think if we pray really hard, like if we strain or close our eyes just right or get into the right physical position, that that's going to somehow or another help matters? Here's what God said in the Old Testament when an important part of worship was bringing a physical sacrifice, an animal. Of course, Christ is our ultimate sacrifice. We don't do that today, but we do offer what Hebrews calls the fruit of our lips, the calves, if you will, the sheep of our lips, thanksgiving to God. Here's what God says. He said, I will not take a bull from your house nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, and of course God doesn't get hungry, but if He did, He wouldn't tell me. He wouldn't say, oh, I got to have a sacrifice from you. I'm hungry now. See, for the world, He says, is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? No, God didn't do that. No. The priest got the meat. God really didn't get the sacrifice. Right? He didn't care about the sacrifice. It wasn't about the animals. It was about the heart of the person bringing it, wasn't it? Here's what he says. He says, offer to God thanksgiving. And there were thanksgiving sacrifices that they brought. You see, that's about the heart, isn't it? And pay your vows to the Most High. Do what you said you're going to do. That indicates your heart. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And look what the result is. You shall glorify me. Because guess what? It was never about you anyway. It was always about Him. See, prayer is about getting what God wants. And what God wants is all the glory and the honor and the praise, for it all belongs to Him. And He's going to use you to get that. And you get all kinds of blessings in the process. Or you can just insist on doing it your way. Then He's not glorified and you don't get the blessing. So I want us to think a little differently about prayer. Today we're going to be talking about praying in agreement. We have been for several sermons now on this topic of friendship, discipleship. Friendship, discipleship. Now this is two people, probably two people within the church, right? In a commitment for at least 3 months. Okay, try it for at least 3 months. If it doesn't work out of that, maybe you can pick somebody else. But in a commitment where you're going to get together, at least on the phone, but preferably in person, at least once a week for at least about an hour, and talk about life and God. Okay? And it's not about who's teaching who. It's just about two of you committed to getting together, talking about life and God. And some of the things that you're going to be doing while you're together, if you kind of want a little path to run on, is outlined here by this acronym PAGE, P-A-G, Prayer, Accountability, Goals, and Encouragement. Now that's the order the letters come in, but I've talked to you about them in reverse order. We talked about encouragement, talked about goals and accountability, and today we're going to be talking about prayer, and specifically prayer in the context of two people in agreement to pray. This is part of what you can do when you get together. Is it better to pray in pairs? Is that what this verse is teaching? Let's read it. Again, I say to you, Jesus says, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Is this verse teaching that it is better to pray in pairs, that you're more likely to get your prayers answered, that that's a guaranteed answer prayer if you pray in pairs, in agreement? Well, some people certainly do use the verse that way. The last verse there has also been used by a lot of pastors who had a very small congregation to just sort of make yourselves feel better. You know, well, there's just two or three gathered, and there am I in the midst. Yeah. I think that the verse is meaning something else. Just think about this logically for a minute. If, in fact, it was guaranteed that God was going to answer your prayer as long as someone else was in agreement with you on it, then what would be the point in even having individual prayer? Why even pray individually? I mean, just always go for the pair, right? I mean, hey, this is where the promise is, right? And I mean, God is not any more impressed with two people praying than He is with one person praying, right? We were saying it's about the heart. Not only that, we know that God has not given us, we know this clearly from many places in Scripture, just this flat-out promise that if you ask, He's going to deliver the goods. We already talked about that, right? That's not the way God works. So I don't think that the verse means the way it has been taken a lot of times. There is a context to this verse, and it might surprise you what the context is. The context is not prayer, although this verse is talking about prayer, but that's not the context. The context is church discipline. And just a few verses up, Jesus says, look, if someone in the church sins against you, you go to that person, just you and him or her. You just go to her, just you and her, and you try to talk it out. You try to work this thing out. And if she will not hear you, then you take one or two more people with you because you want to make sure that there's not a whole he said, she said thing. You have disestablished what's gone on, what's been said with two or three people. And then if that person still won't make this right, still won't repent, then you bring it before the entire church and you let the whole church work on this person. And then if they still won't repent, which just means a change of mind, then you treat that person as an unbeliever because they're acting like one. And they may very well be one. Sometimes there are seeds of weeds growing in the wheat, right? Yeah. And then Jesus goes on to say this, which is the verse right before we just read. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Interesting. What does that mean? Does God give His control over people to us? No. There's some possibilities here. And I'm not going to even try to finally and fully explain this verse and some others that I'm going to show to you that are similar to this morning. I'm not going to try to come down with a firm position on the meaning of this. I want us to take an idea away from it. And I think you'll see what I'm saying here in a minute. One possibility here is that Jesus is talking to the apostles. These 12 men that... Of course, Judas was going to die, and then Paul would take his place. These 12 men that were going to be the foundation of the church. And it may very well be that these verses apply only to them, that he was saying this to them. But I think there's more here. I think there's something for us as well. So whether that's the possibility or not, here's the point. Here's the point. I can get a wild hair idea by myself, and some of you have heard some of my wild hair ideas, right? But when I present my ideas to you, and we talk it out, and we've got the safety of the numbers, Proverbs tells us there's safety in a multitude of counselors, then we are much more likely to come to a biblical and balanced and godly decision. And remember, this verse follows the whole bit about the entire church trying to get this person to repent and they don't. See? And so this becomes a consensus of godly people on an issue. And then following this verse, Jesus says, two of you agree in prayer, it'll be done for you. So I think the point here is that Jesus is saying, you are much more likely to get it right to pray in God's will when you are sharing this prayer request with someone else. If the prayer is in God's will and you don't share it with anyone, God will answer the prayer request, as we're going to read here in a minute. But you're more likely to get it right. He's not more likely to hear you, but you're more likely to get it right when you do it in pairs. And I think that's the point. Now, let me just take you to a couple more verses that are also difficult to understand and explain, but they're really in the same context, the same idea. Jesus says this to the apostles. He said to Peter, you are Peter, which is a word that means a pebble, or a little rock. Okay, and then he says, upon this rock, which is a different Greek word that means a boulder, all right? And we take that to mean the statement that Peter had just made, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he says to Peter, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Remember, we just read that. Remember, we just read that from Matthew. Later in Matthew, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peter, you've got the keys. Now, was Peter a wise key keeper? Well, not necessarily. Okay, God wasn't saying to Peter, you're going to be the head of the church, and you get to write the rules. That's not what he was saying at all. He was saying to Peter, there are doors out there that I want to have opened. There are things I'm going to do, and Peter, I'm going to use you to open those doors. And you know what? Peter really didn't even know what he was doing. And I'll tell you why. Because in Acts 10, God had a door waiting for Peter to open. It was about Gentiles, non-Jews, being able to come to Christ. And there was this guy named Cornelius. You got to read the whole story yourself. And Peter totally didn't get it. God just pretty much had to drag him, kicking and screaming over there, take his hand and put the key in the door and turn the lock. And then finally Peter's like, oh, yeah, that. See? But he did use Peter to open that door. See, and that's exactly what God wants to do with us in prayer. We're over here, we've got our want list, and it's all these things. And God's like, no, 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 no. No, I've got great, good, wonderful blessings over here for you, but you got to do it my way, see. So this isn't about God giving control of things over to people, but this is about people coming in line with what God is doing. Now, one more verse, if you will allow me, please. Because still the same context. Jesus is talking to the apostles about this coming kingdom, this coming church he's going to establish. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Says to the apostles, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Wow. So what have we got here? We got God giving over to people the ability to forgive sins. Like in his place? No, only God can forgive sins, right? We can forgive people of their crimes against us, but sins ultimately are against God, and we can't forgive people of sins. But what God is saying to the apostles as a group here, you guys are going to be in the place of holding the keys of releasing people. Releasing them by sharing with them the gospel, that they might come to God for forgiveness. And you know what? You're going to get it right because the Holy Spirit. See, he just had given to them the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Based on that, based on what the Holy Spirit is going to help you do, you will be the ones preaching the gospel of freedom and release from the power of sin. And the Holy Spirit was working and alive in the book of Acts to guide Paul here or there and not there. And to guide Peter here or there and not there. And James, you do this, see. And so this was all about the apostles coming into line with what God wanted. Now, if you want to take a different position on these verses that I've shown you, you can see they're all very similar in nature. I'm just taking the point out of them that it's about us getting in line with what God's doing. Prayer is really about getting our wants the same as God's. Here's what 1 John says. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. What is God's will? Well, this is His desire and His plan. Okay, this is what God's going to do. He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know this thing's God's will and He heard us, then we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So here, you want a promise? I'm going to give you a promise. Here's the promise. God's going to answer 100% of your prayers, 100% of your prayers that are asked in His will, according to His will. Because He's going to do His will. See, prayer isn't about us informing God of what we need, like He doesn't already know. Telling God how things need to go, how He needs to change people, how He needs to fix that situation. It's none of that. Prayer is about us figuring out what God's doing. Prayer is about us getting in line with where God's blessings are. And am I making that up, or is that what the verses say? Look at it from the Psalms. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Wow. We kind of want to leave off the first part of the verse, don't we? Yeah, God's going to give us the desires of our heart. Well, when the desires of our heart are what He wants, we've delighted ourselves in the Lord. And isn't that really cool when it just works out that way? I pray, my wants are what God wants. He gives me what I want, because it's what He wants. All right, why we don't get our desires. If you want to write a list down, here's a list for you. Why we don't get our desires. Very quickly, not a believer. Not a believer. Matthew 7:11. It's a good verse to remember, right? You can think 7:11, 7:11, right? It's where you go to get what you want at the corner store, right? If we as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more do you think our Heavenly Father will give good gifts to those who ask Him? See? But the implication there is He doesn't give good gifts to those who are not His children. So if you're not a believer, then God's not obligated to answer your prayer. Another reason why we don't get our desires is simply we don't ask. James 4:2 says, you fight in war, you kill, you desire to have, you lust, yet you have not because you ask not. Never hurts to ask, by the way. You still might not get it, but you sure aren't going to necessarily if you don't ask, right? Unconfessed sin. The psalmist says, if I hold up iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You ever had that pet sin? Yeah, you know, that one you just, it's not so bad. I just kind of like having it around, you know, and you just don't really want to admit to God that it's wrong. And you know it is, you kind of know it, but you just like, I like this one. Now that's the unconfessed sin. Lack of faith. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. And He will not chide you for asking. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, just driven around with the wind and tossed around. A divided person, doubting and believing. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't let that person think that he will get anything that he asks from God, James says. You might, but God's not obligated to answer your prayers that are not in faith. James is clear about that. Lack of faith could be one reason why we don't get our desires. Wrong motives. James says, you have not because you ask not. And then he goes on to say, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. You ask for the wrong reasons just so you can just have what you want. It's just about your lust. So sometimes things may be what God wants you to have, and it's also what you want to have, but God doesn't give it to you yet because your reasons for wanting it are wrong. That can be wrong motives. Number 6, God doesn't force humans. Now, that's not entirely true. I just had to abbreviate the statement to fit it on that line. God does force us to do some things, right? You jump off of a 30-story building and gravity's going to kick in. You can't just will it away. You know, you're going to fall. There are some things that God doesn't give us a choice about, but there are many things He does give us a choice about. He doesn't force us to obey Him. He might make us wish we did, but He doesn't force us to obey Him. And so let's say, for instance, that you're praying for someone who's not a believer, and you're praying, God, please save that person. Well, it is God's will to save that person. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You can be sure that that is a prayer in God's will, but it may not be answered because God's not going to force that person to trust Christ. So don't be discouraged. It's okay to pray for them. You certainly can pray that God would give you an opportunity to talk to them, that God would soften their hearts, that God would, you know, bring trials in their life, whatever, you know, to bring them to Him. But ultimately, that will be their decision, not God's decision. God is willing. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God paid the ultimate price to bring that person to Him. It's up to them now. And finally, not God's will, as we just talked about before. It may just not be God's will to give us that particular thing that we've asked for. And we already read those verses there in 1 John 5. What are some things that I've seen that people pray for that often are not God's will? I'm not saying God will not or cannot answer these prayers. Please don't misunderstand me. These are just things that I've seen over the years that people pray for that frequently are not God's will to answer. Healing from physical illness. At one time, you know, probably 80-90% of our prayer requests on Wednesdays were for, you know, somebody's in the hospital, somebody's got this or somebody's got that. Physical ailments, basically. And I've seen that change over the years, and I see a lot more. And I just commend you guys for that. Maybe it says something about what I've taught you. I don't know. Maybe you've just grown on your own. But anyway, I've seen you guys do a lot more Thanksgivings in the prayer time and praying for people's spiritual growth and that sort of thing. But many churches, many times, many prayer requests are for physical healing. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying not to pray for that. But often, more times than not, it's not God's will to heal people. Because He's got a plan for that physical illness. And God gets so much more accomplished in that way than through the healing. And we could talk about healing and its role today and all that. But I will tell you this. I'm not going to go into any further detail. God's plan for physical healing today is prayer. Now, He may not choose to heal, but that is His plan for physical healing today, as I understand the Bible. And you can read through all the church epistles, and you'll never find anywhere in there that God gives any instructions to anyone to go heal someone or how to do it. He does tell us to pray for one another, though. So, that might be one thing that's not God's will. It might be. Another one, and I've certainly prayed for money. How many of you ever prayed for money? Good night, let's be honest. How many of you ever prayed for money? God, I got to pay this bill, etc. Okay. Hey, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying not to do it. Okay. Normally, God's not just going to send you an anonymous check in the mail. He could, if He wanted to. And some of you probably have stories about checks that showed up and you're like, I have no idea. And I'm not limiting God. I'm just saying normally God's going to use other means than the miraculous ones to answer the prayer for financial needs. And you guys just helped Ann and me get my grammar right. Ann will correct me if I don't. With getting a new washing machine. I appreciate that. And that was an answer to prayer, but not like God sent the delivery guy with the truck and the washer in the back. I had to go get it because you guys helped me. And I appreciate that. So often God does not answer that prayer for money in that way. And other things like, God, please change this person. Make them see that I'm right. And you might be right. And you'd be in good company. There's many times the psalmist writes, God, please vindicate me. Don't let me be ashamed. Don't let my enemies triumph over me. So you're in good company. I'm not saying don't pray for those things, but I'm just saying often that's not God's will. Often God works through our weaknesses, through our difficulties, to produce something else that He's doing, some other part of His plan. So you may just not get what you want from God because it's not His will. And you can be sure that if it's not His will, then God has something better for you. And finding out what that is would be a great idea. Now let's talk about, from Matthew 6, if you want to locate that in your Bibles, what we call often the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer, right? This is what Jesus prayed as an example for us, for His disciples there. What we should pray about. What we should pray about. And if you'll allow me, just because I think I've got time, I'm going to squeeze in a couple of things that we shouldn't do in prayer real quick first. If you look in verse 5, Jesus says, and when you pray, Matthew 6:5, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Being seen by men, that is their reward. That's all they get. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Does this mean you should never pray in public? No, it doesn't mean that. Okay, there is a public prayer where you're leading others in prayers. I did this morning. But your personal prayer time with God is not something that needs to be flaunted out there to everybody else. So, public prayer is done in public. Private prayer is done in private. That's the point. He says in verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. God's not impressed with your many words. More words doesn't make it clear to God. All right? More words are good in the sense that if you're talking to God and you want to talk to Him and spend time with Him, that's a good thing. He's happy to hear from you. But vain repetitions, where you just go through those rote phrases. And we've all got them. We've got our favorite phrases that we use. Now, how many times do you find yourself saying the same things when you're praying over your meal? Just the same old vain repetitions. Boy, I do. It's a challenge. You have to stop and think in order to pray something different, don't you? You have to put a little thought into it. That'd probably be a good idea. So no vain repetitions, right? And then he goes on to say what we should pray about. Picking up in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Note in this prayer, this sample prayer, sort of a generic sample prayer, the use of first person plural. Plural. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or revered be your name. So number one, praise and reverence to God. And we're going to get around to praise again at the end of the prayer. But Jesus says, your name, who you are, your reputation is hallowed, is reverent. You know, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, before God. We have this unbelievable, incredible 24/7 access to God. And we don't have to be scared. But at the same time, we should be reverential. It is God that we're talking to. So praise and reverence to God. Next, submission to God's work. He says, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow, you know, if we really thought about that, what that means is, God, I want you to do whatever you want to do with me. Just like the angels in heaven obey you, just like the animals on earth obey you, just like the wind and seas obey you, I want to do that. You do through me whatever you want to do. I'm signing a blank check. You fill in the amount, God. Submission to God's work. Our physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. It's okay to ask for that. It's okay. And you can ask for the physical needs of others too. It does say our there, right? Confession of sin. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For the believer, forgiveness is not about starting all over again, getting saved, getting rescued from the penalty of sin all over again. It's about restoring fellowship. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The context is fellowship. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. So this is about having our fellowship restored because we've got the sin in our life. And by the way, you can't get that fellowship restored if you haven't forgiven someone else. And that's taught to us very clearly down here in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty sobering. You ain't right with your wife, you ain't right with your husband, you ain't right with your kids, you ain't right with that person at work, that person at church, you ain't right with God. Straighten it out. That's sin number one. You need to go ahead and confess. Our spiritual growth. Verse 13, do not lead us into temptation. God doesn't ever tempt us. But here Jesus is asking for help from temptation. But deliver us from the evil one. And finally, again, the praise, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, when you get together with someone, talk about what's going on in their life. Talk about what's going on in your life. We talked about that in goal setting and accountability. And make part of that process praying. What are those things that you need to pray for? Share prayer requests with one another and pray for one another. And if that person is asking a prayer request that's not in God's will, you're going to do the nice thing, the polite thing, and just go ahead and pray it the way they ask it? It ain't going to happen if it's not in God's will. Come on, be a good friend. Be a real friend. Help them tweak that thing. Let's do the prayer of agreement where we talk this thing over and we're settled on this is what God wants in your life. We can pray with confidence for this. Say. And it's really just about getting where God wants. I was in Walmart not too long ago. And I went in the bathroom, and I'm sorry for giving an example in the bathroom, but it's just that's where it happened. I can't help it. And I went in, and there was a young gentleman, and he was changing a young child on a changing table. Now, you know, they have the changing tables in the men's room at Walmart, but you don't often see men in there using them, right? Let's face it, it doesn't usually happen. And I don't know if the child was a boy or girl. I don't remember. But anyway, I walked by, and while I was in the bathroom, I heard this young man singing to his baby. And he was singing, "Do your ears hang low, da-da-da-da-da." Have you heard that one? You know, da-da-da-da-da. He's singing to this baby, you know, while he's changing. I thought, that's really very cool, you know. So here's a dad in here, maybe a single dad, I don't know. And changing the baby's diaper and singing to the baby. And then I heard him saying, "Ah, oh, you're a good helper," you know. And I think God does us that way, doesn't he? Like we're helping God. You know, like, "God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's going to be done, right? But we get to be a part of it, or not, if we choose not to. God doesn't need us to do these things. When God says, "You're a good helper, boy, I really appreciate you helping me with that. Appreciate you talking to that person. Appreciate you dealing with that thing. Appreciate you building that over there, helping that person." Is it because God couldn't pull that off by himself? No, it's because he's letting us share with him in that process. And that's really what prayer is about, is us getting lined up with what God's doing. And ultimately, this is for the purpose of our maturity. And that's my desire in teaching this series, that I may present everyone mature in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of prayer. What a great privilege just to talk to you when we feel bad, just to tell you how we feel. We can tell you anything, to ask you for things, to learn what you're doing, and to come in line with what you're doing. Thank you for that opportunity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.